All right. Thank you guys so much for being willing to put up with me and letting me share with you this Mother's Day. I am actually, I know God, the Bible says to ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And so I'm really super excited that I get this opportunity to proclaim God's glory and how faithful he has been to me, just throughout the hills and the valleys of my motherhood journey. And so I'm thankful. This is a living miracle that I can stand up here and speak to you today. I know it is. I really don't know what Pastor Joy was thinking when he asked me. First of all, that was my absolute worst class was communications and speech in college. I have no clue about public speaking. And second of all, I definitely don't have it all together in the Mundry department either, or any other department for that matter. But it was funny how God prepared me to be able to share with you today. He asked me on February 15th, and I remember it was the day after the Valentine's Day banquet at our church. And that was a powerful evening for me. I had a really rough day. My husband and I were separated on Valentine's Day, and I was bummed out and struggling with a bad attitude, and I was like, God, I just want to be a victorious Christian for you. And here I just still struggle with the same things. And I felt like I was feeling like such a loser. And I know Trent and Kim had a skit about God's love. And then the speaker was, I forget his name. He was from Camp Forest Springs, a speaker and singer. And what did he talk about but was about God choosing losers, or the people that no one else would pick. And tears were basically just falling down my cheeks as I was like, felt God tell me, Melissa, I choose you. And I was so touched, and that was how I was able to say yes. I'm just excited that God could use a cracked, weak vessel like myself to be able to just share with you his glory. And I just want to start, if I can pray again. Father God, I just come to you now, and I thank you for how good you are. Lord Jesus, you are faithful and you are good even when our minds refuse it and our circumstances deny it and our emotions want to scream that it isn't so. You are faithful and we are faithless. And I praise you. I praise you for this congregation that has ministered so powerfully to me through my darkest moments. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would send an outpouring of your Holy Spirit to every single one, that they would know how intensely you love them, how passionately you love them and have good things for them. I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth will be pleasing in your sight. And I pray that you would keep me from saying anything that is not of you. And if I say anything inadvertently, I pray that it will be quickly forgotten. Most of all, I pray that you would be glorified today. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. And the first verse that I felt God gave me when I first was praying about this, I had two devotionals I was reading that day, and they both had 2 Corinthians 3:18. And it said, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And that verse spoke so powerfully to me, because as I strive and strive, and I never can be Christ-like, I never can be the person I want to be. And it tells us it's not about us. It's about looking to God and his glory. It's such a freedom to know it's not about us. We need to look at God. And it says as we look to contemplate his glory, his cross, what he did for us, it's we are transformed. So this is a powerful passage. Actually, I had Lenita Stutzman was our speaker for ladies' luncheon. And I said, will you please pray for me, because I have to talk. And she prayed for me, and then she mentioned a verse in this passage, and it's exactly the passage that I had been looking at as I was thinking today. And this is so powerful. This is basically my message. I couldn't say it any better. "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Yeah, I just don't even want to say anything after that. That's so powerful. It's from the NLT. But I will give you a quick testimony of my, just a portion of my testimony of my life's journey and into motherhood. I gave my heart to Jesus. I was 4 or 5. I was laying in bed one night, and I just felt like Jesus was knocking on the door of my heart, and he said, "Can I come in?" And I said, "Yes." And I ran to Mom and Dad, and I jumped on their beds, and I was so happy. I said, "Mom and Dad, Jesus was knocking at the door of my heart, and I said he could come in." And I was just, I think they were a little dazed, and but they were sweet. They started praying with me, and I was able to get baptized in the Ladysmith pool when I was 7. And I had a wonderful childhood. I'm so thankful for my parents. They took me to church and taught me about God, and they loved me, and they had a pretty carefree childhood. And I just, at this moment, I have the microphone. I can tell my mom, thank you. Thank you, Mom, for loving me. Thank you for... you see all my faults and all my failures, and you always continue to pray to God and believe the best, and you speak life over us, and you've taught me how to look to Jesus all the time, and you've proclaimed God's goodness to me, and I'm so grateful to have a mom like you, and I you are the most precious gift from God I could ever have wished to have in a mom like you. Thank you for teaching me who to run to. So then I had an easy, great childhood. Thank you, Mom. And the adolescent years got a little bit, I was just happy in the Lord mostly. And then the adolescent years were a little bit challenging. I know I was in Bible quizzing, and that was kind of a stabilizing force in my life. I was starting to make the, I had to try to make my faith my own a little bit. And I was so thankful for Bible quizzing. That was a life's this wonderful blessing, and God just, I don't know, he just kept being so merciful to me over and over again. I graduated from a little Flambeau Valley Christian school. It was a small little school. I started working at the Applejack Junction in Glenflora, and it was there I met the one and the only Jay Lawton. And I always prided myself on not being very boy crazy. I thought I was, never gonna let the wool be pulled over my head by any boys. But then my husband-to-be walked in, and I didn't know what to do with my beating heart. I didn't know. I was dropped a coffee pot all over the floor. It was ridiculous. But I went away to college, and I was mind over matter. I was going to get my nursing degree, and we did come back, and we got married, and we've had 7 beautiful children together. And I have to say, it's been, I would call it sort of a sanctifying process for both of us. I know, Jay, you can say that. It was a long, painful sanctifying process. thank you. And I just am so thankful for the 7 beautiful children he's given us. I've seen, they've blessed me so much. They've taught me so much about God. It's amazing how family life, it teaches you about God. You see God in them. And so many times, sometimes they'll be more mature than I am. And I'm like, God, you're so good to give me these children. It was when, Rachel was 3, and she had a little brother, Caleb. He was 15 months after her. And then we had, Kristen was 6 months old. And it was, we were in an accident, and all my idyllic visions of motherhood were shattered. We went to, Caleb got badly hurt, and we went to the hospital in Hirschfield. And it was kind of a blur. I don't remember exactly those days. I don't even remember how long we were there. It seemed like an eternity. But I really think God probably just took him at the scene to heaven. But I think he knew we needed a little more time to say goodbye. So we held him, Jay and I would hold him. And I just climbed in the bed with him, and Jay did too. And we just tried to memorize. We looked, and we would just pray and just look for the slightest twitch to say that he was maybe going to be okay. But when we just held his hands and tried to ingrain in our minds what his little hands felt like. And we did have to say goodbye. And looking back, I see God's hand over that whole situation, how he carried us. And it was hard, but he carried us so. I remember little things, like when we went home from the hospital, there was a man out there at the gas station, and I was like, what are you doing? He just stood out there. And then as soon as Jay went into the gas station, he stopped Jay, and he said, can I pray for you? And then Jay went into the gas station, and I don't even know. I mean, it wasn't like he just vanished, but I don't know where it was, like, I don't know. It was just neat little things. I mean, I'm thankful for a church family. There's no way. It's God's grace. You carried us. You were the hands and feet of Jesus to us, and you prayed, and I know Kim organized 24-hour prayer for us. And that meant so much to me, because when you'd wake up in the night and it just felt blackness, you knew and were comforted that someone was praying for you, and you guys sacrificed. You prayed in the middle of the night. You guys were amazing. I just can't thank you for God just used you to carry us through that time. It's just to see us all on the journey of heaven together, you know? And sometimes one of us gets knocked down, and we carry us. And then I just hope any of you feel like you're knocked down, that someone can pray for you too. I hope if you're feeling right now like you're in a hard spot, please have someone pray. I know what it's like to pray and pray, and always sometimes you don't get an answer right away. I remember a year, it was about Caleb's, in September, it was a year after Caleb was the heavenly birthday, and he took the promised land before us. I was thinking, I was praying. The devil was did torment me a lot, my mind and my emotions, and I was struggling just a little bit. I feel like I just felt like maybe God was telling me, you're just a Judas, or I didn't feel God was telling me. I think Satan was telling me, you're hopeless, you know? And I was praying. I said, the only way I could do was look up. I couldn't look down, or I'd be going down into a deep, dark hole. And I looked up and I said, Jesus, but over and over, please show me that you love me. Please just show me that you love me and care. And one of those days I was praying, and a delivery truck came by with a beautiful bouquet of flowers and a verse. And then I just was set it down on the table to look at it and enjoy it. And another delivery truck came by with another set of flowers in a verse. And I just think that God was so good to do that for me. I don't know if someone did that or if God just did that directly from heaven. It was so awesome. And I think of, that was so hard. I really wanted to be a good mom to Rachel and Kristen, but I know I was so sad a lot. And God sent George and Carol to love on my kids when I'd come to church. They would find me so happy to come and someone would play with them. And I know Jay played with them too, but it's just fun when you go to church and it's the house of God and there's someone there to love on them. And Carol would say how sweet they were, and George would play with them. And they've been so lavish with our children. I remember I asked Kim if she could please pray for me, because I know I needed prayer. And she's been so faithful to pray for me every week, almost every week without fail. And I thank you for sacrificing. And it's really has been my lifeline. And it helped me to remember to praise God too, because I didn't want to come back to Kim and not have anything to tell God thanks for. So every day you'd find little something, and it's amazing how God speaks in all the things your little children do. Or he speaks to you so clearly. And I feel like God's told me, you just can praise me in this storm. And it's just amazing how God has helped me trust him now. Because God is good. I think of Joseph. You know, he was rejected by his brothers. He was in the land all by himself, and then he was trying to do the right thing, and he got thrown in jail. And this was happened for years. He was suffering, and he was able to say in Genesis 50:20, "You intended to harm me, but God intended this for good." And Satan can try to harm us, but God can turn anything into a situation for good. He's so powerful like that. And I think of Peter walking on the water toward Jesus, and he was walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he looks down at the circumstances and he starts to sink, and God had to grab him. And that's my whole thing. If we need to keep looking to Jesus, he's able to save us. And also there's that awesome passage in 2 Chronicles 20, just talks about the King Jehoshaphat, and they started praising God, and God sent ambushes against their enemy, and they won. And I just feel like there's power in praise. It's affirming that you trust Jesus. He's got the big picture. He can take care of you. And if I can just say this psalm, because it's awesome, and it's I just think it glorifies God, which is what I believe is so powerful. And it says, Psalms 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. And the wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord hath established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all his everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Okay, I can close with a story. It's a mother story. It was funny how God can use your children to speak to you. Jackson and Ashley were getting ready to go. I said, we have to go pick up the kids from school. Get your coats on. And so I heard Ashley call Jackson a slowpoke. And I heard, Jackson say, but I'm a fast slow poke. And I was kind of getting a kick out of that, so I looked over there, said, what's going on? And he was just struggling with his coat so much. He had the coat on upside down, and the hood was down by his bottom, and he was trying to zip this thing up, and I could tell he was not going to get it. I said, Jackson, do you want Mom to help you? And he kept looking at that coat. I could tell he was like, I'm going to figure this out, and I want to figure this problem out. And then he just throws, he's like, he looks up at me, oh, Mom, he said, I'm so sorry. I just got it all messed up. And right then, God used that to teach me, to just tell me, you know, you're so many times struggle and strive, and you're trying to figure out your problems, and you got it all messed up. He said, you know, just look to me. He knows how to fix all our mess ups. And I just pray this over you guys, and this prayer from Ephesians 3:14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of God's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.